Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Oh yeah, it is the moment you have been waiting for.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
Andy's out, Ryan and Brad are in.
Goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
This is the Manny Fry Show.
Moments ago, we are learning into CNN from a U.S. official that Ukraine has agreed to a peace proposal with Russia, saying only, minor details are outstanding. Now, this as Ukraine's President Zelensky, though, says that more work needs to be done. Adding to the nuance here, in a post on X, Ukraine's National Security Secretary writes that the delegations had, quote, reached a common understanding on the core terms of the agreement discussed in Geneva.
All right, so this is breaking news. Fox News Chief National Security Correspondent Jennifer Griffin has the latest on the talks to end the war in Ukraine. Ukraine has agreed to a peace deal, she says, that would see an end to the war with Russia, a U.S. official told Fox News. Some minor details of the agreement are still to be sorted out, the official says. A residential building is... this is going through a lot of detail that is unnecessary, but we'll jump to the important stuff here. A spokesperson for the U.S. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll has told Fox News that Driscoll and his team met with Russian officials in Abu Dhabi on Monday and Tuesday to discuss the framework for a Ukraine peace deal. What I'm not seeing is whether or not Russia is involved in this negotiation, in these talks at all. You have to have one side agree to a framework. So this is work in that direction. But whether or not this is the final thing is questionable. I'm seeing details kind of being leaked out on Twitter right now, and mostly from people who are very critical of it, and then people pushing back and going, well, who caused this? It wasn't President Trump. He's doing his best to end it, even though it has only kind of loose bearings on our national security. He just wants to end it because he hates watching constant war and death and civilians losing their lives. And that's admirable. But whether this actually is the end, we still don't know.
Yeah. I look at this situation like I want it to end. I look at this. I'm no foreign policy expert. This is just my average Joe producer looking at this thing. And I look at it, and I know that there are people out there saying that you cannot reward Putin for being aggressive and invading. That is true. But the only way that you can punish somebody for doing something wrong, like, for example, you look at the Nazis and them doing all their invasions and stuff like that. You look at that and they say, well, we defeated them completely. Yes, that was an unconditional surrender. But what that took was an allied effort from the United States, France, or what was left of France, Great Britain, and the Soviet Union fighting the Axis powers. So the Allies had to come together and fight the Axis powers. And it was a world war, and it cost a lot of American lives to do that, to come to absolute victory. So when you look at Ukraine, Ukraine is not strong enough to push Russia out on their own. They can fight them to a stalemate with, you know, our weapons and our support, but they're not able to push them out. So if you think that Russia should be defeated, absolutely, they should not gain anything territorially, then you have to say, well, you have to be able to push them completely out of Ukraine and then call for a ceasefire then.
Yeah. How are you going to do that?
I'm not willing to put American boots on the ground.
We've already given them a lot of resources and money.
Right.
And a lot of that money has not been used properly, and it's proved over and over and over again that people were funneling that money to other things and separately, and sometimes they were just buying yachts with it, and sometimes they were using it for illicit purposes. But regardless, that money was spent. That's gone. Yeah. And what you're saying, I really do understand. The point that you're making, I think, is that there are people who say Russia should not be rewarded for what they did at all.
And
I'm one of those people.
They are correct.
They're correct. But you also, I approach this from buying houses. I do this all the time. Yes, you can't necessarily, you don't want to pay this amount for a house because you saw somebody bought that house for $50,000 and now they want $100,000 and they only put $20,000 into it, but the market's changed. You can't buy it based on what it was. Jim Carafano is here to talk about this topic specifically with Ukraine. Jim, thanks for being here today. Give us the update on what's going on with these Ukraine peace deal talks.
Yeah. So, I was saying it's kind of like putting on a blindfold and then trying to watch a poker game. I don't think just kind of listening to what's in the media and all the back and forth and the punditry and even the announcements really tells you very much. I think that's probably a bit frustrating for folks. You know, here's what I can say, because having talked to a lot of Europeans and Ukrainians who are actually working with the U.S. government, there is enormous appreciation that President Trump wants to stop the war, and he wants to preserve Ukraine. And there's actually, I think, a very constructive dialogue on getting to a position where we can secure Ukraine that is free and independent and that can defend itself. Not a perfect solution, but one that gives the Ukraine a promise of a future, much in the way that when the war ended in 1945, Western Europe had a promise of a future. But the question is, you know, when and will Putin make a deal? And we'll know that when he does it. I think all the posturing and everything else that we're seeing, everything, it doesn't really tell us very much. It's not how the Russians actually do that. They telegraph these things. And so that's kind of where we are. I know it seems very uncertain for people, but that's the reality of the current place that we're in.
Jim, are we in a place as a country, or I should say, is the president in a place where we're actually able to push them into something, Ukraine, into something that they don't want to do? Because that's the criticism I'm seeing, is that, well, Ukraine doesn't really want to do this, but we're just so strong that we can strong arm them into getting our way.
Well, one is no. And two is we're not doing that. And three is we're not going to force Ukraine into a place where Ukraine is indefensible and it has no future, because in the end, that's against our interest. So is it difficult to find a deal that we think is workable? Yes. Has the president thrown a lot of different people at it who admittedly all have kind of different ideas? Remember, you know, for example, it was leaked, well, it was a 28-point peace plan. Well, now that's actually been reduced to, according to reports, to a 19-point plan, which, by the way, has the consensus of the Europeans and the Ukrainians. So it's easy when you're a pundit to sit back and pontificate, but I think the reality is Ukraine, Europe, and the United States are on a common agenda trying to preserve Ukraine and end the conflict. Is it pretty? Is it perfect? No. But is there a unity there of purpose? Much the way allies disagree with a lot of things in World War II, but was there a fundamental unity of purpose? And my answer is, I think, yes. And I think, the reality is Putin's plan was to conquer Ukraine, humiliate the West, and make it indefensible. That is not going to happen,
so
regardless of how this thing ends.
Okay, so what does Putin need now? What does he have to have for a ceasefire or peace agreement to happen?
I don't know. I mean, the Russian answer is always easy. They want one thing more than you're willing to give them, right? I mean, the Russians,
right.
That's just what they always want. But the question is you know, what will Putin say? I don't know. And this is an assumption that he'll accept a peace deal. Look, I've always said you know, if Putin is struggling, he can always slow down. He can always stop bombing things, take a pause. He doesn't need a peace deal to do that. So, and then he'd go back and start fighting later. So the presumption is here is we're going to find a magic thing that that makes Putin accept a deal. The reality is that may not exist. And then the alternative is we're going to walk away and abandon Ukraine? Of course not, because that's not our interest. I mean, if it was as easy as just saying, well, if I can't get a peace deal, I'm just going to ignore everything and just leave. You know, Trump would have done that a year ago. But obviously he is committed to this because it's in America's interest to see a free and independent Ukraine that can defend itself. And I actually think he's put the United States in a very strong position where we're not putting U.S. interests at risk in doing this. So I know, you know, it's like a guy, you know, you're down 6-3 or whatever in the, you know, game 7 of the World Series and you're sitting in the stands and everybody else is on, you know, pins and needles. But I think we're in good shape here. I really do.
Jim Carafano, senior counselor to the President, E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation, among many other things, of course. That title is not long enough, by the way. let me ask you this before we run out of time. Is President Trump, because I'm seeing this criticism from the right, really more even than the left, but sometimes on the left, that he's not focusing enough on his domestic agenda. And, you know, maybe it's just the news cycle, but is he able to do all these things at the same time? Because it seems to me that, you know, he hasn't really changed anything, but the optics are just what needed to change.
Yeah, well, you know, the people say he hasn't focused on the domestic agenda. I think that's just a talking point. I mean, I don't think it's true to reality. I mean, we've seen he's had this enormous capacity to both operationalize on foreign policy and domestic policy. But the reality is look at everything that the left has thrown at him, from shutdowns through, you know, a zillion court deals and whatever. The reality is his poll numbers are as strong as they've ever been. His plan for the economy is as good as it's ever been. I think both internationally and domestically, we are on a positive trajectory. And there's a lot of bluster out there. I get all that. But I think if you objectively look at the numbers, his presence, both domestically and internationally, is the strongest we've seen since Ronald Reagan.
Last question for you. Do you see if the Supreme Court were to take away the president's power to sort of tariff unilaterally or easily, you know, depending on how they rule on that, do you see that having a major impact on Trump's foreign policy and his, you know, taking away a tool in his tool belt? Is he going to struggle?
Yeah, well, in the end of the day, they can't take away part of the president's tariff powers. It's just, I mean, they just can't do that because it's actually in law. But the president, I think, is in such a strong position internationally. Look, a lot of countries know, when they've been cutting these deals, and they know that some of these authorities might get put thrown out by the court, but they're cutting the deals anyway. And the reason for that is because they recognize the importance of the economic relationship with the U.S. and to get that right. I mean, I talked to, I won't say who, but I said, one guy was with me. He's explaining how all these things are going to get thrown out. He looked back at this guy and he said, we don't care. We want to make a deal with America and get on with business. That's more important to us. So I don't think it's going to be the end of Trump's ability to pressure folks on foreign policy, on trade deals.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And thank you so much for your time this week, especially going into Thanksgiving. You have a happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to you again this time next week.
I hope everybody has a great Turkey Day and everybody's safe. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Take care, Jim. Jim Carafano, he is from the Heritage Foundation. He is the E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. We're going to take a short break and come back and update you with a little bit more about the James Comey, Letitia James situation and where that lawsuit or where that indictment, the whole case on both of them, may be headed. We've got a little more update for you from yesterday. So we'll bring that to you next, as well as, I'll tease this. This is two segments away, though. Dennis Prager. So I had him on my weekend show a while back. And right afterward, you may know this already, he got very, very ill, almost passed away. And I hung on to this interview, played it right then, didn't know that was going to happen. But I hung on to this because I kept waiting that he would get better. And he's recovered. He's obviously still with us, but he's still in really bad shape. But this was an interview I did with him about God and about his beliefs. And I just thought it's a good day to play this. So we're going to play what could be, I've told Brad, could be actually one of the last interviews, maybe the last interview he ever did. I don't think he's really capable of doing long form.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Warm talking at this point. We'll do that in this hour here on the Manny Fry Show. Andy will be back tomorrow, and we'll be right back.
Lindsay Halligan has shown time and time again that she has overwhelming evidence that James Comey lied to Congress about his involvement in Crossfire Hurricane, the biggest scandal in American history. We've seen the evidence. She's produced it in response to James Comey's various motions to try to derail this prosecution. The evidence is overwhelming, but we do have Democrat judges in this courthouse in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., who seem to be going out of their way to protect James Comey and to try to kick this case. Lindsay Halligan is doing everything appropriately. We've looked at the evidence, we've looked at the transcripts, and if this judge kicks this case on for whatever grounds he comes up with to kick this case, that will be appealed. But James Comey will face accountability, whether it's in the Eastern District of Virginia or the Southern District of Florida.
Man, I read some stories about this yesterday, just looking for a mainstream outlet that would report what the charges are against Comey, mainly because you understand the Letitia James one. That's mortgage fraud. It's very, very obvious that she deliberately, you could say, well, maybe she didn't know. Of course, you know, you're cheating your taxes. You're saying that this place is my primary residence when it's not. And therefore, you get a tax break that you shouldn't have gotten. That's what that's this type of mortgage fraud anyway. And that's not even what Trump did. He overvalued his assets to the bank. And
allegedly.
And then was told later that you can't do that. That's illegal, even though it's a private transaction and the bank approved it. And by the way, if you've ever gone through the process of getting a loan, the bank just doesn't go, oh, you want to buy something? Here's a check.
Yeah. How much do you say it's worth?
you tell us. We're not going to do any assessment of the building.
They don't send any assessors out at all.
So if you, but we're assuming that you've bought a house or literally anything ever using a loan to know that that isn't the way it works. And the bank was fine with that valuation, yeah. But Letitia James wasn't fine with that valuation.
Well, neither was the judge.
Yeah, whatever that judge's name was, I can't remember. But which is good because that judge was just wanted to be remembered. Mm-hmm. That was his claim to fame.
Oh man, the valuation that he put for Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, it was insane.
Yes.
It was like a tenth of what it was when he bought it.
Yeah.
Let alone now, after he's put all the improvements into it, and he's the president of the United States, one of the most famous places in the world.
I believe it was low for even if it was just property in that location.
Oh, yeah.
With nothing on it.
It was insane.
Got it.
So anyway, point being that back to James Comey, Letitia James, that one's very obvious. And she clearly screwed up. Now, whether it was a big screw up, like she probably gained about $10,000 to $15,000 on her taxes. And that's illegal. You can't do that. Yeah. And so nobody would have gone after her except that she made up a fake case. And now she's got to deal with the same crime, like the same category of crime.
Right.
I mean, it's not even different.
Which is ironic and delicious.
It's just amazing.
But like what the judge said, right? It wasn't the merits of that case that the judge threw this out, right?
Right. So with Comey, it was dismissed without prejudice, as in the case is fine. I just have an issue with the person who brought it, which is Lindsey Halligan, which is who Mike Davis was talking about there in that clip. I want to read really quick here a comment that just came through on our chat. This is from Lauren. It says, Trump's revenge attempts against Comey/Letitia James have failed miserably. Maybe he can find a way to get retribution against all the jurors who found him guilty of felonies and liable for sexual abuse. Well, that's full of a lot of untruths and some half-truths. But let's start with the Comey thing. First of all, this case is going to come back.
Yeah, it's without prejudice.
Yeah, and that's the point of it, is that there was no ruling on the case itself, and so they can bring it back. Now, Mark Elias, the very famous Democrat attorney who everybody says, I'm sorry, this is not the way that this should go, but I'm just telling you right now, online, people who don't like Mark Elias, they don't like him for a lot of reasons, but one of them is that they always say he smells bad.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I don't know why that just comes to mind. Maybe it's just one of those stupid, you know, things that they try to attach somebody and it never goes away and it's not true. I don't know. But I always think of that when I think of his name now, because I guess it worked. You know, that kind of stuff works. They attach stuff to people's names. Anyway, he is going out there right now on a media blitz and telling everybody, no, you can't bring the Comey case back because now the statute of limitations has run its course. But I don't think that that's true, and he's the only one I've heard say that. But I'm putting it out there because maybe there is something to that, and this case doesn't come back, and maybe that was part of the chess game that this judge, this Clinton judge, was playing. But I don't know.
It could also just be astroturfing to rile up, you know, the average Joe Democrat that listens to him and saying, oh, well, now it's definitely political prosecution because this is even past the statute of limitations.
Yeah. And it just cracks me up. And that's why I read that comment that just came through that people go, well, Trump is doing political persecutions and prosecutions, completely ignoring all of the political persecutions and prosecutions that were done to Donald Trump. You can't just say one of those. In fact, that gives Trump more of an opportunity to do this because the door's been opened, if you want to say that they're political prosecutions. I don't know whether they are. The one about Comey, to me, the one about Letitia James, different category. That could be retribution of saying, look, the tables have turned and now it's biting you.
Well, the thing is though, there is an actual law that she broke, allegedly. It's not like they're making something up. They've got behavior and law that go together that say this isn't legal.
You're correct. So, however, I still believe
it might be petty.
That's what I think, is that this probably never would have been brought if she hadn't have done the first one, which means there is some aspect of retribution, even though it's completely legally airtight.
Above the board, yeah.
Yeah, and the stuff against him wasn't, and that's a big difference. But the thing about Comey is that Mike Davis just said it there. This is an important case. This is the former head of the FBI lying to Congress about what he did and possibly falsifying documents. They have it in his own handwriting that him contradicting some of the things that he said under oath. So this is a much bigger case. It's not the easiest case To me, the ones that I've looked into against Clapper and Brennan, who was the head of the CIA at the time, Comey is the FBI, those actually look like easier cases to me. But they did have to do this one first because the statute of limitations was running out first. So they had to do it, and it's going through the process, and that's where I just had to report, hey, maybe, maybe Mark Elias is onto something here, that they were trying to do something with that statute of limitations. But I've never heard anybody else say it, and he goes out into the spin zone hard and spins everything really hard. And none of the other people commenting on it are saying that's going to happen. So we'll see. But anyway, that's the update on that case. We'll keep watching. I still think that's a really important case, especially the Comey one. The Letitia James one is just it's turnabout. It's stupid, and I can't believe that we're here after watching her prosecute that for so long and knowing what she was doing.
Isn't that sort of the same thing that they're going after Schiff for?
Yeah, it is. It's mortgage fraud. It's claiming that you have a primary residence that's not your primary residence and doing it multiple times. It's obviously illegal.
Yeah.
You can't have three primary residences. Literally, you can't do that. You have to have one. That's why it's the primary residence. So those are just easy cases. But they are obvious, and they are going to get them on them. And what else they get Adam Schiff on, I don't know. Anyway, that's the update. We'll be right back, and we're going to bring you that interview that I did with Dennis Prager about a year ago. This was right before he got very, very ill. And like I said, we talk about God. And I find that fascinating because right after this, he really, I don't want to say he lost his voice, but he'd been a very well-known broadcaster personality for a long time. And this might be one of the last, if not the last, interviews with him before he really kind of lost his voice, physically speaking. So stick around. We're going to play that back next. So I have a variety of questions to ask you here, but let's start with the book. You have accomplished something that is difficult to do. Once you write a book, I mean, writing a book is not the easiest thing to do in the world, but then titling the book in such a way that makes the reader not only, or the potential reader, not only interested to hear what it's about and can encapsulate the subject, but also, you know, makes them actually intrigued enough to pick up the book. I think you've done that here with The Rational Bible, Numbers.
Well, Numbers is not exactly a riveting title, but I'm stuck with it because that's the way the book is titled. The better one, which I do include on the cover, is the actual Hebrew, which is In the Wilderness. That's the Hebrew name for the book. The English name is Numbers. I've been writing, this is 10 years now, I'm writing a volume on each of the first five books of the Bible because everything else in the Old and New Testaments rests on the first five books known as the Torah. And if people understand the ideas of those books, their lives will be transformed for the better. And I know every author might say that, so I have proof. People should just go to Amazon and read the 4,000, well, nobody's going to read 4,000, but read some of the 4,000 reviews of the first three volumes of the Rational Bible. It is meant to be life-changing.
So you have an expertise in biblical Hebrew and its grammar. You know, for somebody who is interested in the Bible and may not have the expertise that you have, what is it, you know, what is like one of the big takeaways that you say, this is what I'd like you to get from Numbers or from God and Man in the Wilderness?
Well, it really, it's really so rich. The book is so rich, and hopefully my commentary is, it doesn't matter what page or chapter you pick up, but I'll give you one example of a transformative idea to be derived from the book. When the Israelites or Jews or Hebrews, whatever term you wish to use, are liberated from Egyptian slavery, where they were for hundreds of years, you would think they would be the most grateful group of people in the world. And instead, they're complaining the whole time. And one of their complaints in Numbers is, we want to go back to Egypt. The food was better.
Mm-hmm.
And I develop many themes from that because God gets very angry at them. And you figure, what is God angry about? And so here are at least three points to be made that can really affect a person's life. One, arguably the lowest form of human is the ingrate. And ingratitude is the dominant idea in America today, at least in one part of the political spectrum. Not being grateful for being an American is to me as ungrateful as being liberated from Egypt. It's an astonishing thing to me. I mean, I've been to 130 countries. I'm very grateful to be an American. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you. And it doesn't matter if you're black or white or male or female. You have unparalleled opportunities if you're in this country. So God is quite annoyed with ingrates. A second great lesson from all of this is that the human being does not yearn to be free. It's a common misconception. People yearn to be free. That's not true. People yearn to be taken care of. And most people will trade in freedom for being taken care of. We want to go back to Egypt. Yeah, we were slaves, but we really liked the food. And so we got free food. Yeah, we were slaves. So we'll trade in liberty for good food. And that's what we have in America today. People prepared to trade in liberty for any sorts of government goodies, whether it's student loan, daycare, lunch and breakfast at school, Social Security, Medicare for all. People are absolutely prepared to trade in freedom for being taken care of. So anyway, those are two of the big themes. Just from that one idea, we want to go back to Egypt. The food was better.
Well, that's so interesting. I mean, freedom for safety is definitely something that I've heard before. I think there's a famous Benjamin Franklin quote that says the same thing. And when I read the title of your book, The Rational Bible, you know, not to sort of mince founding fathers here, but I go back to Thomas Jefferson, and him, you know, his Bible was famous for being only rational. You know, he took out all the supernatural stuff. I'm assuming that's not exactly what you're doing with numbers, though.
That's correct. But my approach is completely rational. I never ask the reader to take anything on faith, which is why the books have been, I believe, quite effective. I write in the foreword to each of the volumes, if I have not explained something rationally, then I have betrayed you, the reader.
So this is for the skeptic, basically.
Oh, yes, but if people will read, there are 5,000 reviews on Amazon for the first three volumes. If people read any of the reviews, or 100 of them, I don't expect people to read 4,000, even I didn't. But if people will read any given number, they'll see how many people are already committed to religion, usually Christians. I'm a Jew, but it's usually Christians. And who write, this has profoundly strengthened my faith. It has given me reason to believe, not just faith to believe.
Okay, well, I got to ask you, because you brought it up, you know, there's a video out there. There's a lot of videos of you out there. I don't know if you are aware of this, but there's a lot of videos that people have become acquainted with you through, PragerU and all those things. One of them saying, well, why isn't Dennis Prager a Christian? And I just want to, you know, before we run out of time, I think that one of the things that so many in the conservative orbits have been impressed with is the way that you've used social media to get these messages out. I mean, is that something that you have had to really cultivate, or as you just kind of started doing it, it took off?
Yeah, both are true. Look, I'm probably the biggest defender of Christians and Christianity who is not a Christian, maybe in the world. But I think certainly in America, I don't suffer from what the Jews suffered who left Egypt, ingratitude. I'm spectacularly grateful for what Christians, largely Protestants, have created in the United States of America. the friendliest country to Jews in Jewish history outside of obviously their own country. And that may be changing, which would be a tragedy for America as much as would be for the Jews. But that's a separate subject. But on the question, you have to have me back to have a lengthier discussion. But in a nutshell, with regard to my being a Christian, I'm a sort of sola scriptura Jew.
Okay, so I got you.
Yeah, and I believe that God chose the Jews. I don't believe he has, you know, changed his mind, and that's a big part of the reason Jews suffer such horrible horror and hatred. It's a unique hatred, the Jewish hatred, because it's exterminationist. It's not just persecution, but it's let's exterminate the Jews, which is what the Iranian regime and Hezbollah and Hamas are saying today. And also, I do believe, I mean, to get to the heart of the matter, and I always try to answer questions openly, I do believe that ultimately works can save a person. That's the great theological difference. I'm a massive devotee of Judeo-Christian values, but obviously there's no such thing as Judeo-Christian theology. Our theologies differ, but our values are very, very similar. And I'm a big promoter of Judeo-Christian values.
Before, you know, we're almost out of time here. I don't want to keep you too long, but are you seeing this happen culturally too? That you're seeing Jews and Christians come together, not just in the United States, but is that something you think almost spiritually is happening in the world right now?
Well, if it doesn't happen, the world will be in really bad shape. The more Jews and Christians are allied, the greater it is for the greater world. I've said all of my life, it is not a coincidence that America has been the most blessed country in the world, because as God said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And that the country that has most blessed the Jews has been the most blessed country. Even if you're an atheist, you can't deny that. That's just a fact. And I always added in every speech for 40 years that should, God forbid, it ever happen that America abandons the Jews in Israel, I fear for America.
Well, Mr. Dennis Prager, I really appreciate your time. And, of course, your new book, The Rational Bible Numbers. Is it out now? Can people get it right now?
Yeah, they can pre-order it. It's coming out next month.
Okay, so pre-order The Rational Bible Numbers from Dennis Prager. And we absolutely will have to continue this conversation sometime. I'd really love to do that. Thank you.
It's mutual. Thank you so much.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Brad, I have a question for you. Have you ever been nervous to meet, well, really anybody, but a celebrity was the question I was going to ask. It's almost an ask me anything question,
yeah.
But I don't know that we've ever asked that.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've asked, have you ever been nervous to interview somebody? And I don't remember the specific answer to that other than to say when she first started this show on weekends, what, 10 years ago, if that now? 2016-ish, I think it was around there. She said that her first several shows she was just very nervous to do. But I don't know that she ever gave us a name that she was really nervous to interview.
Yeah, I would say most of the celebrities that I've met, and this is going to sound really funny, but back whenever I was just a fan of this show, Annie announced and was doing the Taxpayer Revolt Rally. Do you remember that in Collinsville? Mm-hmm. Were you there?
It was one of my first events with the station.
So I didn't meet you there, but I was there. It's the first event that I met anybody in public. And so
that
I
was with Bruce Rauner, right?
Yeah, Rauner showed up and at the very end, but there was all the different Republican candidates and all that other stuff. I was nervous to go up and talk to Annie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Annie and Katie were there, and I saw them over there, and I was just sitting there.
I was with the station, but not with this show yet.
Right. Because I knew you from the Glover show and that sort of thing.
Although I don't think I was actually even on the Glover show. I might have been part-time here still.
Okay.
So you wouldn't have had
maybe
any
not.
Relationship
I
with
wouldn't
me.
Have recognized you for sure. But, yeah, I was like, it took my wife prodding me. He's like, just go over there and say hi. And I was like, fine, I'll go over and say hi. But I was nervous. This is kind of funny to say. Billy Bob Thornton, nervous to meet him.
Oh, when was that?
He was at the airport in Lambert. He was flying in for a St. Louis Cardinals game or something
like
that.
You just saw him?
I was there to pick up my friend who was flying in from L.A. And he's like, Billy Bob Thornton was on that flight. And so I was like, no way. And he's like, yeah, he's right over there.
Huh. Was he flying first class?
I guess. I wasn't on the plane. I didn't ask that because I was like super nervous. But he did have security with him who was standing there like kind of like big while they were waiting by the baggage exchange. So that made me nervous. I'm trying to think of all the other.
Did you feel it necessary to go talk to him? Or did you just want to?
No, but I was like, when am I ever going to get a chance to do this again?
What'd you say?
I just said, hi, it's nice to meet you. Big fan, that sort of thing. And it's like, I don't even know us here to see the Cardinals. Yeah, love the Cardinals. And it's kind of like, okay, bye. Super awkward, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not there. Like, he's on a flight. He's there. He's trying to be low-key. And the Midwest nice. This is me with most people that I see that are famous. The Midwest nice in me is like, don't say anything to him.
Don't bother him.
Yeah. You can make eye contact with him, like, I know who you are. I'm not going to say anything. I'll keep it low-key. And, like, he was. He had the ball cap down kind of low and all that sort of thing. But, you know, it was Billy Bob Thornton. It was like that whenever I was in D.C. Ryan Schmelz, who's on every Wednesday or every Monday at about 12, usually 12:15 or so. So if you tune in for that. I texted him when I was out there. He's like, yeah, come on over. I'll take you in. So he walks up. They have those gates up around the White House, or not the White House, the Capitol building. And he goes and he talks to the Capitol police officer. He's like, yeah, take him in, but they've got to stay with you. And he's like, all right, cool. So I got to go in there. I got to meet, I got to watch Richard Blumenthal do me to you away. So a couple feet away from Blumenthal doing an interview by they call it the lamppost. When they come outside and they do it, got to meet, Chad Pergram. Chad Pergram's awesome. Super nervous to meet him, though. It was a little different with Ryan because I text with him a lot.
Got a little bit of a relationship there.
But he took us down through there. I got to meet Senator Gallegos' people. I got to meet a lot of people. And yeah, it's kind of nervous when you're meeting some of these high, powerful people in the country. Because, they're just supposed to be you and me, but there's that element of them that is... they're important because they can actually, in their position, shape the future, my future and your future and the future of the country. But they were all so very gracious, which surprised me, except for, I think it was Tim Kaine. I didn't get to talk to him, but I almost ran into him.
I remember that story.
And I would have knocked that guy down if I wasn't paying attention.
He's not very big?
No. He is probably about
your
height, so about
Virginia.
5'4".
Okay. Oh, come on.
Yeah. No, he's kind of short. I would say probably 5'6", maybe 5'7". So I didn't notice him right away. And I turned to walk out because they have those rotundas, which are actually in the office building, not the rotunda, the Capitol. I didn't know that, but that's where they do all those interviews. I turned and he was like doing the fast walk by me to go meet somebody that was also a dignitary because he had a look and he was kind of getting ready to reach out. I turned and I took a half step. And if I'd have taken a full step, I would have hip checked him. And it would have been like one of those like hockey hip checks where the guy spins and falls down.
So you could have made news. Tim Kaine broke his hip in a collision with random guy
with
who
random
was 5'2". That's what they would have said. That's what they would have said.
They would have said 5'2", but that's just to save face for Tim. No, they would have. I would have been like massive to them. They're like, yeah, he was like 6'7", 450 pounds. He's the very average height. Tim.
Right. Well, but, I remember that story, but it doesn't mean that he was not courteous. He was just in the middle of something.
Yeah, he wasn't paying attention to me. I caught him at the last minute. There was a senator. Ryan, we were going to get on the elevator to go down and take the subway ride. Or no, go through the tunnels. We took the subway from the Capitol, which they had a fire on recently. I don't know if you saw that. But the senator gets in and then closes the door in our face. So we weren't allowed to ride with him in the elevator.
Oh.
Ryan looks at me and he goes, huh.
Do you know what senator that was?
I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
Because he was not a Republican. But I also don't want to like get wrong.
You're not just going to say it. Okay. All right.
But okay. Yeah, he just kind of
I asked that question because, and I've said this before. I think I've said this on the air. I'm not really sure, but I'll say it for the first time if I haven't, that I've worked in a lot of media environments. I've worked in newspapers, actually, and I've worked in TV, and I've worked in semi-national TV at my own company, and then I've worked in other radio. And when I started here at 97.1, the people here, I still say this, but it's become common now because I've been here for a while. They were the most impressive personalities I've ever met. And I've worked in a lot of environments. But the people here, especially the main hosts, they're just so good at what they do. And it's a class of people that I had not been around, even though I've been in a lot of media. I had never been around a talk show host who can carry a show for three, and in Mark Cox's case, 4 hours a day. It takes
a
lot. And it was just, it's intimidating when you first step into it, even though I had come from a radio background. I had never done talk radio. And to walk into it and see what these hosts are able to do for such long periods of time every day that somehow is still captivating, entertaining, interesting, whatever word you want to put on it, I was amazed. And I still to this day look back to then to realize, oh yeah, I'm still like every now and then I gotta take a step back and watch my colleagues as a listener instead of as somebody who knows them and say, gosh, you guys are really good at what you do. And I didn't intend that to be this whole segment, but when we talk to people around the country, there is a certain respect for 97.1 hosts.
Yeah.
Because they're really good. And I'm not even including myself. I'm not a main host. I'm not one of the top three here. Mark, and Annie are the top three here. And then you got the national hosts too. These guys are just really, really good. And they're at a level that if you tune in around the country, you're not going to find that.
Yeah.
You're just not. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to dash anybody or you know, take a dump on anybody's talents elsewhere. I'm just saying that these people are really good. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that I got really nervous, bring it back around here, maybe the most nervous I've ever been professionally to interview Dennis Prager. And it's because of that fact, because he's that good. Because I knew that I've gotten, you know, comfortable enough at doing this that I can kind of ease my way through a couple shows here. I'm hosting today and yesterday, and you know, I can get through these, and hopefully they're good shows. I don't know. I don't do this every day like Annie does. I'm the co-host. But to interview him, I knew I couldn't like fake my way through it because he would know, because that's what he does, and he's that good. So it was just cool to interview him, and it's cool listening back to it again too, to hear him say, we should do this again. Maybe he's still capable. Like I said, he's gone through a lot of health issues right after that interview. And so maybe I should reach out and just see how he's doing, if he's capable of talking again. That'd be fun. Anyway, thanks for being here. We got another hour ahead, and we got Trisha coming in and Ethan. Should be a fun 2 o'clock hour heading into the day before Thanksgiving. So stay here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.